The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What about in Old Testament times? People who lived in a remote place away from Israel, how would they hear about a Messiah or the Lord Jesus? And how could they be eternally saved? We're going to be thinking about this question today, right here on Grace in Focus. We are so glad that you are tuned in and with us today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. Especially right now, we're emphasizing our annual national conference. We want you to come and be with us. It's held in North Texas at a camp called Camp Copus, beautiful place. And this year, we will be thinking about dispensationalism and free grace. Find out all the details and get registered at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Welcome. I'm here with Dr. Bob Wilkin.
Well, no one's called me Dr. Bob Wilkin in about 40 years, but okay, thank you so much.
Well, Happy New Year then.
We're going to give you an honorary Dr. David Renfro.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, the most humbling thing was to have Zane Hodges as a friend, because Zane Hodges knew more Bible than I'll ever know. And Zane Hodges knew more Bible than people with four PhDs, and yet he didn't get a PhD because he was Plymouth Brethren and he didn't want it. In fact, after he did the majority text, I'm told that Van Bruggen told him if he would come over to the Netherlands and spend about 6 months, maybe sitting in on a few classes, and just present his majority text as his dissertation, defend it before the faculty, they'd give him a PhD. And he was like, no, I don't want that.
Really?
Yeah. So, I joke about Zane with his honorary doctorates and stuff, but Zane would have turned down honorary doctorates.
He would have
turned down real doctorates. He didn't want it. But anyhow, what's our question?
The question is from Frank, and he is asking about people during the Old Testament times that lived in America, places that were far away from Israel that had no direct revelation of the true God of Abraham.
Far away from the ancient Near East, just Israel, but the entire ancient Near East.
Ancient Near East, right, that never heard of Lord Jesus Christ. He concludes from that these people will have to face the judgment of God before the great throne and will head to the lake of fire because their names are not in the book of life. He said, please explain this.
Okay, excellent question. There's several layers to this. First of all, David, let's think about the first few generations. Adam and Eve are generation one. Their children are generation two. We don't know how many children they had. You know, we start with Cain and Abel, then we get Seth to replace Abel, and we don't know how many total children they have. But it's probably reasonable to assume they had something like 25 to 50 kids, maybe more.
Maybe more.
How many of those kids would you think, or what percentage of those kids would you think would be born again?
You would hope all of them.
Right? Because they met, Adam and Eve met the Lord Jesus face to face in the garden. Cain met the Lord Jesus face to face and talked with him. They would have all talked amongst each other about having met God in the flesh and having talked to him. They would all know the promise of Genesis 3:15. They would all know about the fact that there was everlasting life by faith in Messiah. So I would expect that Matthew 7:13 and 14 about the way is narrow that lead to life and few find it. I doubt that was true in the second generation. What about the third generation? I would still think the vast majority of the grandkids of Adam and Eve were born again. Well, how far does that extend? I don't know, but we do know that Enoch, who was in the seventh generation, according to Jude, Enoch prophesied about the second coming of Messiah. So when the people went out, Acts 10, we get Babel, right? And we get the nations spreading out and going all across the earth. We don't know what percentage of those people were born again, but possibly it was a significant percentage.
Yeah, I wouldn't say all of them because of the paganism that grew even right outside the Great Flood.
Right.
But you're right. There probably were still very strong believers in those civilizations.
Well, we do know the Flood, that the corruption was amazing.
Right.
And we know that there were only 8 people that were allowed on the ark, and evidently the requirement to be on the ark was more than being a believer. You had to be righteous. Remember, we're told that Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
Right.
And so to get on the ark, you had to be righteous, and there weren't anybody else. So who knows how many people were born again and died in the flood. But with the spreading of the nations, it seems to me that it's exceedingly likely that there were believers in all of those language groups.
You would think, yeah.
So there would be a witness in all of those language groups. So wherever they went, there would be a witness. So first of all, we don't just start and go, look, none of these people heard about God.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
Josh McDowell points out, and I've read other people that point the same thing, there's over 200 people groups that have a flood tradition. They have a family, they get in this huge boat, and they're saved from this great deluge that covers the planet. That's 200 people groups. Mm-hmm. All of those people groups knew about God. So Frank's question is wrong from the get-go. The people all around the world knew about God. Now, is it possible by, let's say, the time of David, that many of these nations had suppressed the truth about God? Yeah, maybe. Maybe you wouldn't have too many God-believing people. How many of them believed in the coming Messiah? We don't know that either.
No.
But I don't think we can say because they were far removed from the ancient Near East, they wouldn't believe in God. I think that's extremely remote. We're told in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord.
Right. Obviously, after the flood, you have a lot of paganism growing, and that's because of the sin nature of man that caused the flood in the first place. So even though everybody on the ark was a follower of Yahweh, at some point you're going to have, just like kids today, rebel against their believing parents. They just go their own way and think, this is what I call the battle cry of the sinful human.
Right.
I have a better idea. All over the Old Testament, the Israelites, you know, the Lord would say, now here's what I want you to do. And what do? I have a better idea, and go against the word of the Lord. Yes, there were lots of believers, but there were also, just like in our culture, there's lots of unbelievers.
Right. Now, I would assume the way is narrow, leads to life, and few find it, was certainly operative several generations after the flood. But like you say, at some point, defections are occurring.
Sure.
And within a few generations, you're going to get more and more wickedness and more unbelievers.
Right.
So you could get to the point where, okay, by the time of David, you could have widespread unbelief in the Gentile world. Of course, you had widespread unbelief in Israel, too.
Well, look at the Assyrians and the Babylonians, which are just two. But, I mean, you could even talk about the Canaanites that lived in Palestine,
you know,
that area in the Middle East. They were as pagan as it gets.
They were, but then you have people like Rahab, who comes to faith.
I know.
Or Ruth, who comes to faith.
Right.
And you have lots of people coming to faith. And by the way, I have a friend who gave me this argument. It's similar to Frank's, but a little different. Doesn't that same argument apply at the time of Christ?
Sure.
And the time of the apostles? My friend told me, well, the apostles went in the Roman Empire. They didn't go to Australia. They didn't go to the United States, Canada, or Mexico, or South America.
Or Africa.
Or Africa. And you know my response to him? How do you know that?
Yeah.
If God can pick up Philip the Evangelist and move him to Azotus, where he went,
yeah,
why couldn't he pick up the apostles and move them to Australia, or pick them up and move them to America or anywhere else? And his response is, well, yeah, he could, but he didn't do that.
But it's not in the Word of God.
It's clearly not in the Word of God, so right. I will admit it's hypothetical.
But you're right. It's entirely possible.
I remember Zane Hodges in class, and he was asked about this question of those who've never heard. And his response is, We know from Acts 16 with the Macedonian vision that people who cry out to God, God sends them the saving message. Mm-hmm. And we also know from the history of missions that God has linked up people groups who were crying out to God for more light. He brought them the saving message. Mm-hmm. And Zane said there's every reason to believe that's happened all through the history of mankind.
That's true, too.
And, of course, Jesus appeared, we know, to hundreds of people in the Old Testament. Who knows? I imagine he appeared to people in every generation. Mm-hmm. If so, wouldn't they spread the word to people around them?
Sure. And
he would have appeared to people not just in Israel, but people in other lands as well.
Sure.
So my speculation is that Hebrews 11:6 was true in the Old Testament as well, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Or in Acts 17:27, Paul said that whoever gropes after God indeed will find him, and he's not far from all of us. He was telling the Athenian philosophers that.
Right.
That seems to be true in all of history.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who is crying out to God heard it. So I reject the premise that there are going to be people at the great white throne judgment whose names are not in the book of life because they didn't live in the ancient Near East.
Did you hear the story? I heard this story many, many years ago about a tribe in Africa. They would look around them, and humans were the only ones that had a useful thumb.
Yes.
And so what they started doing, which I thought was interesting, they didn't worship the thumb of a human. They worshiped the creator of the thumb.
That is so good.
And so they would, you know, cry out to the thumb god.
Right.
The creator of the thumb. And sure enough, a missionary or several missionaries broke through to that tribe and showed them the gospel.
And I believe that has happened all throughout history.
More times than we can count.
Read the book of Jonah. The sailors hear the message from Jonah. The Ninevites, hopefully after chapter 4 and he comes to his senses, mm-hmm. hopefully he then evangelized the people of Nineveh.
Right.
I remember Alan Ross said that the book of Jonah is telling the Israelites that they were to be God's light to all the Goyim, all the Gentiles.
I agree.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And what are we going to do, David?
We are going to keep
grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Well, we hope you have a great weekend. We hope you find yourself in church, fellowshipping with other believers. Enjoy some time with your family. Come back and join us again on Monday. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.